something we kind of take for granted. You have a baby or babies, and you're going to be sleep-deprived for the next 4 or 5 years of your life. It's a rite of passage that you just have to get through when you become a parent.
But our next guest says it doesn't have to be that way. She says we think of the sleep deprivation as a kind of hazing for new parents. Instead, she says we should acknowledge everybody's right to sleep and start looking at parental sleep deprivation as a public health issue that impacts families and the economy.
Natalie Herman joins us now. She's a certified sleep consultant and holds a certificate in sleep consultancy. She's also a member of the International Association of Child Sleep Consultants and the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. She recently wrote about parental sleep deprivation in the Washington Post. Natalie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, Natalie, what's wrong with the way we think about that hazy, sleep-deprived time of new parenthood?
I just think that many parents now have children and have babies, and they're just resigned to the fact that the first sort of 5 years of their life, they're supposed to be, you know, sleep deprived, and that's really the norm. And I'm not sure that that's actually such a good thing, that it's impacting their life in a good way.
And it's... And it seems like, and you're kind of telling my story here, certainly, and many other people's, and it seems like at the time, that's just the way it is. Babies don't know how to sleep yet. They don't sleep much, so... That's just the deal. So isn't that the way it is, sort of naturally?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that's what most parents think. And when I meet with them and I tell them that there's another way, they're almost completely in shock, you know, that that babies can actually sleep through the night and, you know, from a very early age as well. And then once I tell them how that can happen, it's just, you know, their whole world changes.
Did parents used to have more support systems in place than they have today that would, you know, help them get around some of those issues of early sleep deprivation with young kids?
Yes, so I think that's one of the biggest problems that parents are facing today, is that the concept of parenting and the sense of community that probably existed maybe 50 years ago is just not in place anymore. And the reason is, you know, that many of us are living away from close family, you know, our parents, our grandparents, our cousins, and we just do not have the same support system that that maybe our parents used to have, you know, different generations ago. So it's just much more of a different type of parenting, and it's much more of a strain on the couple and the marriage.
And it seems like in reading your piece, you're looking to take this from being a personal issue that we're all dealing with alone or in couples and trying to make it a societal issue. How do we make that transition?
Yes, absolutely. I really genuinely believe, and this is one of the missions that I have and the reason that I actually, you know, taught myself and trained to become a sleep consultant in the first place, because I saw the impact it was having on society in general and young families. And I do think that it should be a government initiative. And there's certain countries around the world, governments offer programs such as maternity leave packs or, you know, a visit by a maternity nurse during the first week of their baby's life. And they support parents in that way. And I don't understand why they can't support parents in dealing with sleep deprivation, you know, by offering the help of a sleep expert once their baby arrives. You know, in some countries also you get help from a breastfeeding consultant, assistance in maternity wards, and I think that they should also be providing education on sleep in the same context.
Well, what do you think some of the costs of parents not getting enough sleep for years at a time are to a society?
Oh, the tolls would just be millions or billions of dollars. I mean, if you think how many parents aren't sleeping at night and then sort of have to go to work the next day, you know, what is their productivity like? You know, what is the impact on the work that they can do? And that's the norm now. You know, both parents, because of financial constraints and how expensive, you know, lifestyle is in living, and definitely having even more than one child means that, you know, both parents are in a situation where they generally have to work full-time. And then if they're up at night with their child, you know, what kind of impact is that having and how productive are they actually being?
We're talking.
And what kind of cost is that to businesses?
We're talking to sleep expert Natalie Herman about chronic sleep deprivation for parents. She says it shouldn't just be a personal issue. It's something we should all be taking seriously and knowing the costs of it. And we want to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you're a new parent, about to be a parent, have been a parent, what was your sleep story? Did you find a way to get enough sleep, or did you live in a slightly zombie-like condition for a number of years? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Natalie, what about the impact on infants, on children, of having parents who are chronically sleep deprived?
Yeah, so that's also quite a very serious consideration, I think, for parents, is not only the effect that sleep's having on them as a parent, but what is happening to their child. I mean, you don't need to be a scientist to recognise that sleep-deprived children are grumpier, they're more agitated and generally badly behaved. And most of the time, it's generally because they're not sleeping well at night. And that's actually what's contributing to their poor behaviour. And in addition to that, you know, what kind of parents can handle being sleep deprived all night and then actually be an optimum type of parent. So that's obviously having a cost on, you know, the relationship and the fact that, you know, parents aren't fully aware of what they're doing most of the time and they are just in this sleep deprivation haze.
You talked about different sorts of supports that you would like to see put in place for new parents. Among those, you mentioned sleep education. What would that look like? Because most of us think, well, I know how to sleep. I, you know, try anyway. I'm tired. I close my eyes. I get ready for bed. A baby, you know, it seems like they're going to sleep according to rhythms that we don't really understand. So how would sleep education work?
So, look, I think it's actually important, even, you know, when you're expecting or just actually when you've had the baby, it's so difficult. There's so much conflicting information out there now available to parents that they actually become quite confused what they're supposed to do. And unfortunately, you know, without the knowledge of sort of understanding the basics of sleep in terms of how much your baby would need sort of in a 24-hour period, how much they're supposed to sleep during the day or at night, you know, these basic things, or when you're supposed to put your baby down to sleep to ensure that they're napping, you know, these basic things, if you don't even know, you know, you just make these mistakes and you get into these very poor sleeping habits and it just really continues and spirals sort of out of control, and you can have a, you know, couple of years of sleep deprivation just because no one was there to guide you and support you in the early days of parenting, which I think is a real shame.
Let's go to a caller now at 800-642-1234. Andrea is with us now in Appleton. Andrea, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
I actually have a question. I have a five-month-old, and he's great. He gets up maybe once in about a 10-hour period at night. However, my two-year-old has been getting up with growing pains in the middle of the night. So now that I have my infant sleeping through the night, I'm having these issues with my toddler. So I cannot fathom getting a full night's sleep for the next 5 years.
And Andrea, are you feeling tired, sleep deprived all the time?
Oh my gosh, I'm exhausted every day, but you cope with it. I don't think it's affecting how I work. I work full-time, and so does my husband.
Andrea, thanks a lot for that call. And Natalie, she says she copes with it. She doesn't think it's affecting her work. Do you buy that?
Yeah, look, I think it's also reasonable to say that, you know, not everybody is depressed as a result of their sleep deprivation, and not everybody has the same issues with getting up with their children at night. You know, for one parent, you know, once a night can be a problem, and for another parent, you know, twice a night is not a problem at all. So it's really just considering those parents that are, you know, finding it very, very difficult, but not understanding that there's genuinely like another way that you can live your life, or the fact that, you know, you can get more sleep, that it is an option for you.
Do you think that there should also be flexibility in workplaces if someone is going through a rough patch, if it shouldn't be considered, you know, sort of getting out of jail free if you don't have to come into work that morning, or if you do get an extra week off? Should there be some sort of workplace allowances for sleep deprivation?
I'm not sure whether it's so much on the onus of the company to provide sort of flexible arrangements in these contexts, unless, you know, the sleep deprivation was getting out of control and there was sort of, you know, and that person wasn't really managing, you know, their schedule in general. And then maybe there could be, you know, a different arrangement put in place just so that person could get through that difficult time. But I think it's more just, it's coming from the top, really, because things like, you know, work expectations in terms of having a full-time job or what a company's bottom line is, I'm not sure that that's where the change is actually going to happen. I think it more needs to come from, you know, as I said, the government providing initiatives that will support parents, giving them the information that they need right when they leave the hospital. As I said, you know, when you have a maternity nurse that comes and would advise you on breastfeeding or, you know, caring for your newborn, sleep should be at the top of the agenda as well, as important.
That's the work side of Andrea's equation. She was also, I think, hoping for advice. You know, a two-year-old and an infant, that's a pretty common scenario for parents,
very.
I think. How do you juggle different sleep schedules, different sleep needs for different age kids?
Well, this is very, very difficult. And more and more people are having kids close together, which is even more difficult. I suggest that, you know, when you have such a tight age gap, to get as much support as you can, even if it's paid help, sort of in those afternoon hours where both kids need to have, you know, go to bed at different times, or, you know, they need to be fed at different hours. I think for the two-year-old, it's much more of a behavioural situation rather than a baby who just may be in poor sleeping habits. And I think, you know, when it's that age group, you need to speak to your child very openly and discuss with them, think about what exactly is the reason that they may be getting up at night. Maybe it is growing pains, maybe it's something else, you know, because the child is more aware at that time, can be pushing boundaries at the age of two as well. And it's not necessarily, you know, just being in poor sleeping habits. Something could be causing them anxiety, you know, and they may need to have their parents, you know, interacting with them in the middle of the night, but it just should be managed in the right way.
We're talking right now about the cost of parental sleep deprivation with Natalie Herman. She's a certified sleep consultant and holds a certificate in sleep consultancy. She's also a member of the International Association of Child Sleep Consultants and the American Academy of Sleep Medicine.
And you can join the conversation if you're a new parent. Are you getting enough sleep to get by? Or do you remember those, dimly remember those hazy, early sleep-deprived days of parenting? If it's been a while, what kind of help would you need to get sleep? What impact does this have on your life, your health, your work? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking about the years of sleep deprivation that ensue for people once they start having kids. Our guest says sleep deprivation isn't something we should laugh off. She wants us to take it seriously as a public health issue.
Sleep expert Natalie Herman stays with us, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you in the middle of this right now? Are you a sleep-deprived parent? Or as a parent, if these days are behind you, do you remember that? Did you ever bounce back in terms of sleep? And are there things you think we could do as a society to make it easier to get sleep as a parent? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Natalie, let's talk some about sleep and health, the link between the two of those. It seems as though research keeps popping up about there being real impact between chronically not getting enough sleep. What have you heard?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, in general, in adults, there was a study that was done recently for National Geographic. There was a documentary titled Sleepless in America, and they were saying that 40% of American adults and 70% of adolescents are sleep-deprived, which obviously has major health and safety consequences. So if you think just in terms of road traffic accidents as well, what type of fatigue is, you know, causing traffic accidents in America. Also, like, disturbed sleep was found as a cause of diabetes and, you know, heart disease and also obesity in children. And in addition to that, they've connected, research has shown that there's been a connection with sleep deprivation and ADHD and AHD. So there's quite a lot. And in addition to that, obviously, stress, the high levels of stress that are affected.
Let's get back to our callers. You've got Ruth on the line in Altoona. Ruth, hi.
Hi. Hi. I think this is an excellent point, and I'm going to just veer it just slightly. I don't mean to take it off, but I'm looking at sleep deprivation for the children as well. I'm thinking of the times, that's not very often, that I'm shopping late at night, but I'll hear families who are obviously trying to push their schedule to get in what they need to, but the child is crying because they're clearly just worn out. Or in another situation where a mother has a child and the mother likes to stay up late and get up late, but the child seems to have a time clock to go to bed earlier, and so the mother's actually working to keep that child awake until she's ready to go to sleep. I mean, working.
That's interesting, Ruth. So I guess pushing the parental time schedule, the sleep schedule on the children, what kind of impact would that have on kids, Natalie?
So this is actually a very, very common problem, and I think a lot of the reason comes from the fact that, you know, as I said earlier, you know, we're all working long hours as parents, and, you know, we want to be able to see our children at some point in the day. So a lot of the time, or, you know, a mother is at home and the father, you know, really wants to have time with their child, so, you know, the mum will push the schedule just so the father can come home and give the baby a bath. But unfortunately, it's at the cost of the child, as you say, because, you know, their sleep is compromised as a result. So it's a very difficult balance, and often when I meet with parents for the first time, the first thing I do is push that bedtime like a few hours earlier, because, you know, a small baby, a five-month-old baby, cannot handle being awake till 9 or 10 o'clock at night. It's just, they'll just get to a very, very overtired phase. So it's, you know, a lot of sort of coaching and you know, supporting parents in understanding that. And it's not necessarily that bedtime will be early forever. It's just until we get the sleep on track and on hold, we need to make the bedtime a lot earlier. So it's definitely something parents need to think about, not to compromise your child's sleep just for your own sake. At the end of the day, what's good for your baby is going to be what's good for you.
Well, thank you for that call, Ruth. And we're going to go next to Miranda in Milwaukee. Hi, Miranda.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi, I just wanted to comment that I am a new parent. I'm here with my baby, you might hear her. And I am on maternity leave right now. I've just moved here. I've immigrated from Canada. And I'm lucky enough to keep receiving my maternity leave because it's something that I've paid into for many years, despite the fact that I'm here in the U.S. And I'm a little bit worried about number two, because number two is likely to be born in the U.S., and I know I'm not going to have that luxury.
So you're worried about how sleep habits and reflections might differ between the U.S. and Canada? Am I reading you right?
Exactly. Because right now, you know, I can afford to stay at home with my baby. I can afford to not go back to work right away. But with my second, I will either have to go back to work sooner or, I mean, I might have to make some financial sacrifices there. But if I do get back to work, I might end up being one of those sleep-deprived parents.
Great. Well, thank you for your thoughts, and good luck. I hear the little one in the background there. Natalie, if a parent does have to work, let's say Miranda does have to go back to work, or at least to work more often than she does, what are strategies a parent can use to try not to reach that sleep-deprived state?
Well, this is where it's definitely important to, you know, as soon as your baby's born, your new one, you know, to get the help that you need, whether it's paid help by a nanny that will support you and give you the chance to sleep more during the day, and also just to engage with a sleep consultant who can give you the basic training advice that you need. So by the time you do go back to work, you know, you have a baby that's reasonably settled at night and you're not kind of going into this sleep-deprived haze. It is generally about education on sleep and what you really need to do to get your child into that good routine and good sleeping habits, which is very possible, even in the early months.
Thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Jacqueline in Appleton now. Jacqueline, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you so much for bringing this whole conversation up. I think it's highly important. I have young kids. They're preschool age. They're no longer babies, so I feel like I'm getting more sleep now than I was before. But I would definitely say that it affected my ability to do everything, my ability to work, to focus on my work, my ability to be a parent that I need to be. It was difficult. My situation was a little bit more complex than that. At the time, I was a military spouse, so I didn't have, you know, a lot of people to lean on other than fellow military wives, and they were very supportive, and we supported each other as much as we could. But I just really appreciate that you're bringing this up. I think that when she said we need to, you know, maybe make financial sacrifices, I would totally agree with that. I don't think my father and I have had this conversation recently. It was really interesting because, you know, I look back at my grandparents' generation and they only had one person going to work. And a lot of people say nowadays you need to have two people going to work. And I'm not sure that's necessarily true. You just need to scale back on what you think are your needs, because needs and wants aren't always clear nowadays. And I think it's important. I'm a woman. I would like to go out and do a job as well. I needed to learn to sacrifice a few years in order to be able to do that.
And Jacqueline, I want to jump in. Natalie, as we wrap up, you've issued a wake-up call here. Are people starting to take this issue seriously, just briefly?
Yeah, no, I think that there definitely needs to be a wake-up call. I'm glad there's been such good feedback on the call today, because I definitely think it needs to be taken seriously. And did you want me to respond to this caller now and what she was saying?
I think we are all out of time, Natalie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you.
That's Natalie Herman, a sleep consultant. She holds a certificate in sleep consultancy. We've got her article on the need to take sleep deprivation more seriously, linked. You can read more over at the Central Time Facebook page.